right, we're back for the second off-season Oscar Talk with yours truly, Chris Tapley of InContention.com and Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. Still shaking off the rust, at least I am. But we got a few things to talk about today. It's the first time we've talked, actually, since the new rule change went into effect about a month ago now. And maybe we should start with that. 5% of first place votes are needed in order to even be eligible for a Best Picture nomination, which means there will be anywhere from 5 to 10 nominations. What was your reaction to that, Anne? I'm curious, because we haven't talked about it yet.
My reaction was twofold. I felt very strongly that the Academy doesn't want to admit that it basically made a mistake with the 10 best, and I'm thrilled that they're backing off of it, because it was a big, big mistake. The biggest mistake of all is that Academy members themselves were stretching to fill out those 10 slots,
right,
and putting in movies that they didn't love, that they didn't care about, and they were gaming the system and playing around with what was in different places in a way that they never did with the 5, when they were just voting for 5. And so on some level, this returns us to that, but it's a different voting system. And so it's really going to be interesting. My offhand polls have indicated that, you know, nobody seems to be bothered by it, and you know what it means is that you have to be really popular to get in. You have to be on at the top of the ballots to get in,
right,
and that means that if you vote for something, even at number one, that this many voters don't vote for, your vote, your entire ballot is thrown out in effect, and it could marginalize a lot of Academy voters' ballots,
yeah,
if they aren't in the mainstream, and it really is going to be tougher, I think, for independent films to get into the top 5, as it always was.
Right. Yeah. My first reaction was I liked it specifically because it will make the list of nominees indicative of the year on the whole. So if there's 9 nominees, that's indicative of it being a strong year in the Academy's opinion. If there's only 5, that's indicative of it being perhaps a weak year in their opinion. But I will admit that the math of it after a while, I don't fully understand what's going on with some of this. But
Steve Pond, did you read that thing? I mean,
I just glossed over.
he imitated the piles, and you know, he used last year's critics' top 10 lists as a way of figuring it out, and that's where I got some of my. You know, it made sense the way he did it. But I agree with you. No, it doesn't seem, most people aren't thinking about that. They're going to vote now. They're going to vote for their favorite films, as many as they want to, and that will we will see where it ends up. It does sound, though, like consensus titles and mainstream titles will win the day.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think that it was clearly a decision to inject excitement into the actual nominations announcement, because, you know, you won't know how many Best Picture nominees there will be until they're announced. So there's some element of excitement there. But then at the same time, no one, you know, you're not trying to get ratings for your nominations announcement special.
No.
So
No. I think that's an element, a marketing element that they're aware of, and they promoted in their announcement. But I don't think that's the real reason is to try to get the most mainstream movies they can on the Oscar show. That's their goal.
Absolutely.
Trying to build, you know, an audience, and they're terrified. I mean, part of why Don Hudson is running now, the former head of Film Independent, is now running, you know, replacing Bruce Davis along with Rick Robertson at the Academy. They want new blood. They want, you know, a young whippersnapper who produced the Indie Spirits, you know, to be injecting some lifeblood into something that has become a little bit, they're afraid, a little bit dated.
Well, to say the least, I mean, that list of invitees to the Academy this year was eyebrow-raising.
Well, they went overboard. I mean, the governors are obviously going, they're stacking the deck with people like Beyonce Knowles and
Russell Brand,
Rooney Mara.
Yes, it's,
you know,
strange.
Who have hardly, I mean, you could argue for Beyonce Knowles, especially in the music branch. I'm just using her as an example of a very mainstream pop figure. Who wouldn't be, you know, who's earned her stripes, but someone like Rooney Mara certainly has not. Or Mila Kunis,
And like I said, Russell Brand, it's like some of the, I looked at the list and I looked at some of the below the line guys who were just now getting in, and I'm like, these guys
had to fight and claw and apply and
exactly, and they share their
as the actors branch has always dominated,
right,
you know.
Right.
And I mean, people like, I know some people who are trying to get in who are totally veteran, you know. Remember, we've told this story before. John Landau didn't get in until after Avatar.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
He's the producer of Titanic, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people really fight to get in. And, you always see people, you know, Donna Langley just got in. I mean, people like, she's the chairman of a studio, co-chairman of Universal. And so you're right. It seems very strange.
Well, it's something we'll keep an eye on throughout the season just to kind of bat these ideas around because, you know, films need to have a certain passionate frame of support in order to even be in the discussion at this point. So we'll see which films grab it. But how about so far? We're at the kind of the midway point this year. I've caught up with this and that. I still haven't seen everything I need to see. But, what do you think?
I want to say two things to you. I mean, I read your very, very good, opening salvo, which got more than 144 comments, she said enviously. you had Steven Spielberg as your hook, and I think that's a great way of looking at it. You know, the whole question of Steven Spielberg is fascinating with War Horse and Tintin. And I thought you were quite accurate to put, the Jurassic Park comparison, to say one is going to be his popular film, the other is clearly, given the fact that they moved it into December at the same time, designated as his awards contender. And the trailer for War Horse and everything about War Horse and the way that the play has just moved people in London and New York certainly leads one to think that it could be a front runner. And you're right, being a front runner is not always a good thing, as you argued with Social Network. But you do end up your story with lame brain winner predictions. And I have to say, guys, put on the brakes. I mean, it is July. It is the beginning of July. It is too early. We haven't seen enough films. Toronto is the launch of the Oscar season. It is when we learn, what I know I always do this and I always get upset because honestly, it's going to take a long time for all this stuff to play out.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously I'm not taking those seriously. I just gave it as something else for everyone to chew on because it had been a longer time than normal that I had actually written something about the upcoming season. And even July is early, too early, but...
Well, my lame brain Oscar chart, which sits there sort of, for a while. But basically, if I've seen it, I put it in the, front category. If I haven't seen it, it doesn't get there. And that's how I handle it for now. And so I would say that Jane Eyre and Win-Win are the two top and maybe Woody Allen.
Yeah, I'm really feeling it for Midnight in Paris. People really, really, really love that movie.
They do. And it's been such a big success, and the success proves. And here's the thing. I mean, Woody Allen is someone that the Academy, the older members of the Academy, have always loved.
Right.
And have always treated well. It's just been a long time since he's made a movie this good, or a movie that captured the imagination. It was just like the perfect summer escape movie. And I think that we can assume screenplay and director in any case because the cast is not really nominatable.
You think director though?
I do.
Yeah. Well, the writing obviously because he's always nominated for his writing, but at the same time this movie is about writers and that's going to speak to them more than ever. And then I just think it'll fit in the 10 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 whatever
it
will be.
Yeah. I think it'll be there. I mean, it has to survive. Sort of interesting talking to Sony Pictures Classics because they're so they were always theatrically oriented, and now that DVDs are taking such a steep downturn, they've become even they're like embracing their true selves,
right?
And so they talk about keeping things in theaters as long as humanly possible.
Well, they could
And
keep
they,
this one in there long enough to be his biggest moneymaker if they
well,
wanted.
that's what they're doing. That is their strategy, and they're going to hang in there as long as they possibly could. Other places like Focus or Searchlight will start telling you, or Studio, they'll start telling you when the DVD is going to come out. And like Bernard is like, we're keeping this in theaters as long as we can.
Well, that's one thing. They have a, as always, they have a stacked deck, stacked plate this year, but they made some missteps last year, and I just think they're going to need to focus on
I
something
agree
this
with
year
that.
more than
I agree
ever.
with that. They threw out everything, and but both Sony and the Weinsteins have a lot, and the Weinsteins are behaving very aggressively, and the trailer came out for the Meryl Streep Maggie Thatcher movie, The Iron Lady, and I was very, and then
Just
as
a few days after the Glenn Close movie was announced as in the
right.
race, which
And
is
you
somewhat
know
curious.
Roadside's going to go for that because, and they know how, because assuming the movie, this is again, assuming these two movies, which we have to see, deliver, or are just, they could just be performance driven or more, but Albert Nobbs and Glenn Close, it's a wonderful story because Close had five nominations in the 80s. And her two Best Picture nominations were Fatal Attraction and
Dangerous Liaisons.
Dangerous Liaisons, right. Say that one fast five times. Dangerous Liaisons. And so, literally, in the 80s, she has not had this kind of major role since then. And she's been trying to get the movie made since the 80s, since she was in
It was
the
so long ago she won an award for it on the stage, and she co-wrote the script for the film, and she's obviously producer. It's there's a narrative to be built around her.
Definitely. And she's been vocal about, as well as she's done in a series like an Emmy-winning series like Damages, she does not want to be, put out to pasture. Whatever Meryl can do, Glenn feels she can do better, So I think she wants a piece of that action.
Well, I just want to transition back briefly to the first half of the year. Do you think something like, especially considering the new rule, something like Tree of Life can maintain a passion vote enough to slide in?
I have to tell you that I'm assuming that Terrence Malick is taken seriously by many of the craftsmen in the Academy and women. I mean, it is not to be denied that this is a work of considerable achievement, and it's very hard to call it right now. Brad Pitt gives the performance of his career, in my view, and it's very hard to tell at this stage, until I almost feel like we're not going to know because it's not going to any more festivals. It's already opened, and it's in two camps. You have the camp that buys it hook, line, and sinker. You have the camp that completely denies that it's worth taking seriously. But I think the Academy will recognize the craftsmanship involved.
Indeed, and it's worth taking note that the studio is just chugging right behind it and doing really well by it, I think. And it says to me that it's something they want to push for the long haul as far as the year goes.
Fox Searchlight.
Fox Searchlight,
They
yeah.
will. Yes, they will. But
They have.
it has to wind up on a lot of 10 best lists, basically, is what has to happen. So we aren't really going to know what the fate of Tree of Life is until the very, very end of the year, and then see if all the different, the usual suspects start to include it in the conversation.
And how about something like Super 8?
Super 8 to me is another Tintin. I mean, but it's more complicated than that because it played really well to an adult audience, and someone like me that saw the films when I was growing up, I felt like I was in the most comfortable, familiar, warm and fuzzy universe. It made me so happy to go back there. And I think the Academy is going to feel the same way. But Spielberg historically has not been rewarded for this kind of movie. E.T. and Close Encounters. He doesn't win for stuff like this. He really doesn't. And it's got to, as you say, it has to be Schindler's List with the best reviews on the planet, not in genre territory. And this is an alien monster movie.
Well, could it get nominated? Obviously, E.T. and Close Encounters made it, but
I don't think for Best Picture. I just don't. What could it get? What would it get? I mean, what does it do better? What performances? What, you know, the kids are superb, but I just don't see them getting nominated.
Right. Well, you know, it's a couple of below the line elements that could maybe slide in, but you know, I'm well on the record of my take on the movie. But you know, it is the kind of thing that hit this generation that is kind of dominant in the industry
right
now.
I agree.
It
is the ultimate boomer movie.
Yeah.
But tell me, I mean, let's go back. I mean, you think things like sound editing.
Sound editing, visual effects, all possible. You know, film editing even possible. But it would be only those elements. I don't see like a screenplay thing happening. I don't see the actors getting recognized, even though they are certainly my favorite aspect of the film, especially, you know, Elle Fanning.
She was amazing, terrific. She was terrific. But by the way, the rule changes are good on the visual effects and also in another category, animation now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We don't have to worry about that anymore. There will be five.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, with animation, no. There could be four if there are 13 eligible contenders, and there will be five if there are 16, as always.
So that's the same.
So it's pretty much the same. They just added a stipulation that could leave four nominees instead of going down to three. If
it's under 16. Okay. But visual effects is going to be five.
Visual effects will always be five from now on. Yeah.
That was absurd.
Yeah, that was a long time coming.
Yeah. And then the docs changed the year of eligibility to the calendar year, which made a lot of sense.
Very much needed. Yeah, that was very confusing for a while.
But I did find out. I was trying to find out because of the. The Christian Bale movie,
13 Women of Nanking, I think.
The Heroes of Nanking.
Is it The Heroes of Nanking?
Yeah, The Heroes of Nanking. That movie is going to Toronto and it's going to be sold there, and they're going to try to make it eligible by the end of the year, which is going to be interesting if a distributor can pick it up and get it together in time. But it's going to be 60% Mandarin, 40% English, and it will be only eligible for foreign film in that calendar year if it opens in China before October 1st, and it's not scheduled to open until December. So it's all sort of interesting. So those rules are all the same.
Right.
You have to have a majority of the foreign language, and you have to have be released in the home country before October 1st.
Well, speaking of animation, and before we jump out of the first half of the year real quick, there was a reader question from Doctor that I thought I'd throw in. He says, I was curious as to what you guys think of the best animated feature race this year, especially with Cars 2's middling critical reception. Looking at the year ahead, I don't think anything could top Rango, although I couldn't see it winning in previous years with such stiff competition like How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and some of Pixar's greatest. You know, it's still to be seen what kind of eligibility situation we have for a lot of these films. Some of them are motion capture, like 10-10.
I've been told that that's going for animation. And if you look at the trailer, you can see that it, like Monster House, mm-hmm. it's equivalent to Monster House. It's performance capture, but it's animated performance capture.
Interesting.
So, in other words, the characters are drawn upon the movements. They're rendered. You can see that they're stylized and they don't look like the people that are acting them.
Interesting.
So that's what I've been told is the comparison. Monster House.
I don't know if that's, you know, spinning to an extent, because I do wonder how animators will take to it regardless of what they did on top of the performance capture. But
I've always believed that performance capture should be considered animation from in front. Mm-hmm. And it was Zemeckis and ImageWorks and that whole crew, mm-hmm. which have been thrown out on their ear at mm-hmm. Disney as outmoded, too expensive, and mm-hmm. antediluvian, really. You know, they were the ones invested, and so was Cameron with Avatar, very invested in making a case for performance capture not being animation.
Mm-hmm.
And they skewed the argument the other way, and so it was more considered visual effects.
Right.
But now, if you have an entire film that is stylized and animated, it's animation.
It's a dialogue, I think. It's kind of. I've always felt the way they felt that it's kind of an affront to animators to an extent to consider it an animation technique. But the more and more that line is blurred, the more I'm open to it being
well,
considered.
Rango, I mean, sorry, Rango blurs the line,
right.
in effect, because you've got the visual effects people at ILM animating a movie and doing it in a very refreshing and different way. I thought it was absolutely stunning and gorgeous.
Yeah, me too.
And fun. Really fun to see a movie that doesn't look like every other movie you've ever seen and is totally following, you know, different rules.
Mm-hmm.
It was too expensive, predictably. But it does, I do think that honestly, Chris, I mean, we've had this conversation, what visual effects people do and what animators do is extremely close.
Sure. To an extent, sure, yeah.
Pixar does, especially in a movie like Cars 2, which is much more, you know, closely, you could see if you look at the credits for Cars 2, they are following real live action stuff in there. I mean, that's the only way they could have done. And I would argue that that movie will still be in the Oscar running, even though it didn't get good reviews.
Yeah, I think it will too. You know,
because animators will recognize its extraordinary technological.
Exactly, equipment. That's my argument too. Well, speaking of Rango, how do you feel about Paramount's new animated situation?
I'm fascinated. I mean, mostly it's a showdown at the OK Corral between Brad Grey and Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a deal to negotiation in a way, but that the decision has been made. You know, and Rango was their test run, and they realized that they could do an animation division without investing in a huge amount of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could bring the price point down from Rango, they could make a go of it, and that's what they're going to do. But hiring the right person is key, and I am fascinated at where Jeffrey Katzenberg thinks he's going to go and make a better deal than the one he has at Paramount, because I don't see it.
Where's that?
The only place that really looks possible is Warner Brothers.
Really?
And because they don't have an animation division.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Fox still has one, assuming that they're happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Universal took Fox's guy, Chris Meledandri, so he's doing very well with Illumination, with a Despicable Me,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And then the place that could use him that doesn't have enough, the reason that Paramount paid the deal in the first place was because they needed the product from
mm-hmm.
DreamWorks Animation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why they made that arrangement. But I don't see... I mean, he can't go back to Disney, which is the place that needs him.
Right, exactly. That's ironic.
That's where DreamWorks is. Mm-hmm. The rest of DreamWorks. But Jeffrey can't go back there because he burned his bridges with the board there.
Right.
The board will never have him back.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, well, I'm all for it as far as the Paramount situation is concerned. I think it's worth it to put your chips down on something like that and try to make a go of it. So,
well, they're letting
good luck to them.
They kind of threw it out there to see who would show up in terms of being interested in the job. I mean, I hope they make a smart choice there.
Mm-hmm. Moving right along, we were just talking about Glenn Close and Meryl Streep and everything, and someone asked a question kind of pertaining to that, so I'll just throw it out there. Does Kirsten Dunst's win at Cannes still mean anything in the scheme of the award season now that Glenn Close and Meryl Streep have picked up even more buzz? That's from Julian Stark. But just in general, I'm curious about that. I haven't seen Melancholia yet, but is Kirsten Dunst something that's going to come back around, or do you think it's...
Well, she won Best Actress at Cannes,
mm-hmm.
and... I loved Melancholia. It was my favorite movie at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it will come back to a degree, but I also know that the Academy, even if Lars von Trier made all the amends in the world,
mm-hmm.
they don't forgive this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. So even if the movie gets some traction and gets some good reviews and does really well, and even though the jury at Cannes didn't want to punish Kirsten,
mm-hmm.
it's still, I think, going to be very much of an art film. I don't think it will cross over, and I think it'll remain there. And I don't know if Kirsten can break out of that.
Okay. Can't wait to see it.
Can't wait to hear what you think.
And then there's Comic-Con coming about a week and a half from now.
from the sublime to
yeah,
the ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting though, because the studios are obviously pulling out a bit, and TV is taking over
down
there.
Not so much. I mean, it turns out that they're there. As I suspected.
It's production companies. It's like Legendary has their panel. You know, Legendary is something built around the geek kind of infrastructure.
Well,
So it's
Fox is doing something. Summit is doing something. You know, big Twilight thing.
Of course,
Cowboys and Aliens. Paramount's doing that. I think they're screening and debuting the premiere of the movie there,
right?
In Comic-Con.
Just this idea of throwing everything at the wall, though, going down there with something like Get Smart, is just doesn't seem to be in the cards for them anymore.
Well, I think they figured that out. I think they're being more targeted. And I mean, Film District has a panel with Guillermo del Toro and Drive, which is very smart.
Right.
You know, perfect demo.
Guillermo is going to be, you know, big cheese down there this time around. He's got that. He's got Pacific Rim, written by my friend and fellow alum of the North Carolina School of the Arts, Travis Beecham. Hoping that does well. But I don't know what they'll go down there with. Maybe like some artwork or something, because it doesn't start production for quite a while.
Yeah, he's also got a big Q&A with EW.
Yeah.
On the future of film with Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you and I will be both down there waving our flip cams around,
yeah,
as long as they're still functioning.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I might go down for a day or two or maybe three, depending on what the schedule ends up being, but I'm not really excited about the event at all this year, to be honest. But as it pertains to this discussion, I mean, a couple of years ago we could talk about Comic-Con because Avatar was going to be there and everything. There doesn't really seem to be anything. Maybe Drive. I mean, do you think Drive is going to be something that's going to be an awards play later in the year?
No. That's strictly a... I think it will be a very, very solid hit and a star maker for Gosling. I mean, it shows what he can do now. The studios are going to be all over him. And he's going to continue, I think, to be very smart about picking the right things. He helped to pick the director on this, and it made a big difference. Vinding Refn, however you pronounce his name. But, you know, I don't think that's an Oscar play, because it's a very, very much of a lean, mean, almost silent kind of genre film.
How about for, say, Albert Brooks? I had a little fun with sticking him on my supporting actor predictions. I was talking to a guy right before I published them, and he seemed to think it could be something that could happen. What do you think?
That's possible. It's a long shot, but it's a possibility. He's wonderful in it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wonderful. That depends on the competition. That depends on who the other, you know, how many people are playing against him.
Yeah. Well, I was going to hopefully see that at the LA Film Fest, but I didn't bother getting a credential this year, and then they got a little weird about showing it unless you were doing interviews or some nonsense. I'll see it when I see it, I guess, but I'm looking forward to it.
Now, but as long as we're talking about the women, I mean, one of the movies I saw at Cannes was We Need to Talk About Kevin, which features an extraordinary performance by Tilda Swinton. And I realize everybody's putting their sort of long list together at this point, but, you know, with Oscilloscope handling the release and the way that it didn't win a prize at Cannes, and the fact that the response that the movie gets is so polarized, it really shows you a bad mother, basically.
Right.
And a bad kid. And I don't mean a bad mother in the sense that she's a bad person, but someone who doesn't parent very well or effectively.
Right.
And it's very, I just have this sense that it's going to stay very small. And even if she's wonderful and even if the Academy loves her, it'll be difficult to penetrate that.
That seems to be a shared opinion for a lot of people, honestly. So I need to see the movie so I can talk a little more intelligently about it. But
the critics could push her.
What it will take. It will take something like that. It'll take something, some kind of a headwind on critics' awards by the year's end. So.
And then, you know, the Weinsteins also have Michelle Williams in My Week with Marilyn, which would seem fraught with danger to me.
Right, me too.
I love her.
And just from the little things I hear here and there, it seems that Kenneth Branagh is just steals that movie. I don't know if that's hyperbole or not, but he is playing Laurence Olivier, and that's a fun role. So
no, he could have a blast with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the other movie, of course, is the Madonna movie, but that, again,
needs a new title.
W.E. is one of those things where other people know what it means, Wallace and Edward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's more, I think it's better known in England
right.
as W.E., but they, I can't help but feel that that is probably a vanity play for a Golden Globe nom for her. Because the cast just doesn't seem ready for prime time on some level.
And somebody had actually asked on the list of questions I solicited about the Wettis County that they also have. Do you know if that's going to happen this year? Or
I don't see it on the schedules.
Yeah.
It was for sale in Cannes, and it was picked up by, I believe, Open Road. Is that? Did you look it up?
I thought it was Weinstein, actually, that has it.
It's not on their schedule. Okay. Oh, yeah, they did get it. That's right. Now, I
probably
don't see
next
it
year
on
then.
Their schedule.
Okay. Well, let's do a couple more reader questions here and see if we can drum up anything else to discuss. This was actually a good point. Red Wine wanted to ask, talk about the artist's foreignness, speaking of Weinstein Company, and how it might impact its chances with the Academy. I'm talking about the big categories, all foreign names, including everything below the line, which I don't think in and of itself is a huge hurdle. But it is a film that I feel like could be their film, the Weinstein's big play, honestly. What do you think about its foreignness, quote-unquote, affecting it, though?
Oh, that movie did so well at Cannes, and it's basically a silent film made by French people,
mm-hmm.
but the characters in it, James Cromwell, and except for the two leads who are French, everybody, even the two leads, are mouthing English. I mean, mm-hmm. you can see them speaking English. And it's in Hollywood, shot in Hollywood, and it looks very Hollywood. It's very much as if it was it's Singing in the Rain,
mm-hmm.
you know? And their Frenchness is so not apparent
mm-hmm.
That you know, the movie does not feel like it's French mm-hmm. or anything.
Sure.
And so I think it's an interesting sort of philosophical question. I mean, will it be considered foreign enough to be nominated as a French film? But I don't think they're going to take that route. I think they're going to go all the way for everything they can get, because the Academy will love this movie.
That's the vibe I get. So.
And they're going to love Jean Dujardin, and mm-hmm. I bet he gets nominated.
Yeah. From Sam C., just speculation and prognostication, but what much Oscar-buzzed about film do you think will ultimately falter come award season, and what film could everyone be underestimating? Care to take a stab? There's always something that just looks like the one that just falls on its face.
I have weird feelings about Hugo Cabret.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's in 3D.
Title was shortened to Hugo recently.
Yeah, already. That's not as you pointed out, not a good sign. I don't know why I have this feeling, but it's just an instinct until I see more material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is one that could go either way. Also, Ides of March could be more arty than, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mm-hmm. mean that in a limiting way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could fall on the art film side. It's opening Venice.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that film from what you've seen?
You know, I have the script somewhere. I should read it, but I get like a Primary Colors kind of vibe just in the little talking points I read about it here and there. It seems to me like one of Sony's best options, because I think that Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is going to be a full-on commercial thing. I mean, you've got what's this interview they just did with Daniel Craig where he's saying it's extremely quote-unquote adult. I mean, it's just like,
and he's saying it's extremely violent.
Yeah,
which is not going to play with the Academy. So they may have kissed the Academy goodbye, except
mm-hmm.
for craft mm-hmm. categories, or possibly for performances. I mean, if Rooney Mara and Daniel Craig really deliver, but it seems like a genre film to me.
It looks like Seven, you know, which is
yeah.
to me his forte, and I can't wait to see the movie. But his forte to me is not Academy Award type films, and never, hopefully, will be.
It could be, you know, that Scott Rudin, who's producing that
mm-hmm.
film, it could be that his other film will be the Jonathan Safran Foer
right.
adaptation.
Extremely loud and incredibly close.
I have trouble with, yes, exactly.
I don't know, but I'm strange on that one, because it was still filming just a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, that doesn't mean anything in and of itself, but he wasn't big on rushing The Reader to make any kind of deadline at the end of the year. So, you know, this time he doesn't have to deal with Weinstein forcing his hand, really. So if he wants to hold it, he'll hold it. But I know they want to make the anniversary of 9/11, so.
And if Rudin wants to get the best award season bang for his buck on this, which and this is the kind of film that needs it, then they're going to try very hard to get it out on time. The question is how much it has fantasy visual effects elements. That would be the real question.
Well, to me, the question is how bad does Rudin want to take a year off of the award circuit after last year? So, because last year was brutal.
One element of this is that there are a lot of people sort of lining up for who they're going to work for this year, and you're right, you know, working for him can be brutal, and working for the Weinsteins can be brutal too, for the people who have to deliver the nominations.
But I do hear what you're saying about Hugo. It's very strange mishmash of material. It's Scorsese, it's a children's story, it's 3D, there's visual effects. It's like, that's a wait and see thing if there ever was one, probably.
I agree. And I don't, and by the way, you know, Scorsese, as interesting and masterful as he is, he doesn't deliver every time, you know?
Right.
And the other thing is it's 3D. I mean, how is the Academy going to respond to 3D? You know? I mean, they don't like it. You know, they're older. They're, you know, some of the craftspeople may appreciate it, but you know, and want to keep their options open. But you know, as wonderfully as Transformers showed what could be done with it, you know, that's Michael Bay, you know, spending every penny of Paramount's money, you know, to deliver the goods. I don't know if Scorsese is I don't know.
I'm intrigued. I did speak to cinematographer Bob Richardson last year. And they were in the middle of filming it, and he was having a ball shooting on with 3D. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, he's a visual master. They both are. Yeah. So, you know, you're right. It may be, but that again, you know.
Yeah. Regardless, it's still 3D.
Capable of pumping the sets. You know, you may end up not. You know, I don't know. I mean,
how about something we might be underestimating? Anything that leaps to mind? It's okay if nothing does. I can't really think of anything myself. If only because this is the time of year where I'm throwing everything at the wall and trying to. I think after that trailer for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
That should be in there.
Yeah, that looks. That's at the top of my can't wait list at this point. Hopefully it's not just a handsomely made trailer for a wishy-washy film. But Gary Oldman, never been nominated, could be the one.
And Moneyball, is that going to be out by the end of the year?
It will, and you know, that's actually, I was going to mention that when we were talking about Sony. That's the one
that's
that's the one I kind of feel like, yeah.
It's not going to happen because it's baseball. That's the problem.
Yeah, but sports films, baseball especially, tend to have some trouble.
Yeah, and it's but Zalian is involved, and if anyone knows how to make a
and
movie,
Sorkin.
You know, make a movie sing, you know, on the script level and make it accessible to a wider audience and plumb the emotion that's there. I mean, I have to say I really loved that trailer. It really made me want to see it. And there's Brad Pitt again.
Is that Bennett Miller's first film since Capote?
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Except for the short film that never showed on the Oscars. I mean, he's one of those guys who's been, he's very picky, very demanding, very tricky. He went through a lot of projects that didn't get made, basically. And I mean, Carnage could come out by the end of the year.
I really don't like the way they cast that movie.
Interesting. Jodie Foster.
It. Yeah, Jodie
Kate
Foster.
Kate Winslet.
Christoph Waltz, which was the only element that I really dug, and then John C. Reilly. I saw that on Broadway, and I love it. I mean, what's not to like, but it was just a weird choice for me, all just those four actors together.
But Polanski, I have a great deal of confidence in, and they're all great actors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw it downtown here, and loved it. And the people that were in it down there would have been great, too. But
was it the original cast that when they came back? For the...
James Gandolfini, and Jeff Daniels, who were both fabulous.
Now, which roles did they play? Because I feel like they switched roles in one version.
Daniels was the yuppie, and
okay.
Gandolfini was the and Marcia Gay Harden were the other couple.
And who was the other lady? Was it Hope Davis?
It was.
Yeah, she was my favorite part of the play.
She was great.
She was my favorite part, hands down. So yeah, I hope that makes it. You know, I'm really. I think Polanski's a really interesting choice for it, for the material. That's also Sony Classics, though, so it just gives them something else to think about with that and the Cronenberg film and the Woody Allen film and.
And Jason Reitman's Young Adult is a possibility. What?
That's I've heard Margot at the Wedding comparisons.
That's not good.
Well, you know, it,
Much
I
as
just
I
think it's
love
gonna
Margot
be,
Wedding, but.
I just think it's gonna be a little less of a film you kind of empathize with the character, like his other films have been, so or
And the
unlike
movie
his
that
other
I
films.
really want to see very much is Lone Scherfig's One Day, but I have to assume that that's focus and you know, that's a tricky one too.
This is basically answering this last question, which is what films are you and Anne anticipating most this coming season? For me, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is at the top at this point. I can't wait to see that. I'm very interested in the Alexander Payne movie
The
because.
Descendants, definitely another George Clooney project. A Dangerous Method, I'm very interested in seeing, and I have to assume it's probably too sexy and weird for the Academy, given that it's David Cronenberg.
Yeah, I mean,
being
Cronenberg doesn't
sexy.
make Oscar
That's what he
movies.
does, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Can't, but it's Michael Fassbender and Viggo Mort. I mean, I can and Keira Knightley. I mean, it sounds sexy as hell, and I'm very interested.
We have to address this real quick before closing because people will get very upset if we don't. The Harry Potter movie's coming out in a week. Do you think anything will happen with it awards-wise this year? Have you
If
seen
it
it?
ever, and I'm seeing it Monday.
Which one are you going to? 2D, 2D or 3D?
Going to 3D.
Oh, I'm gonna be a 2D.
I really, you know, I mean, when it's a $200 million movie with a big studio behind it and they do 3D properly, you know, I can go there. It
Okay.
has to be done, you know, it has to be shot in 3D. That's my rule of thumb is, you know, if that's how it was made. You know, I have to. Did you? All right. So, did you see Transformers?
Yeah.
And do you agree that it was superb in the three, just the 3D of it?
Everything below the line on that movie, I think, is state of the art. I think the sound is reference quality.
Incredible.
I think the 3D was in some ways better than what they did on Avatar, especially in that
I
opening
agree.
sequence on the moon. It was just fantastically done. You know, it's still a Transformers movie, but I had a blast with it. It's my favorite of the series, so.
Yeah, me too. So that's, you know, and then all right, what else?
Well, Harry Potter, do you think, what do you think? I mean,
Oh,
just what you're
yeah,
hearing, I
right.
don't know.
Harry Potter is if it I mean, if you follow all right, the logic is that if, you know, with Lord of the Rings, it was the final one of the trilogy that finally, you know, delivered and everything. But the point is that it had been getting nominations all along and had been taken seriously all along as, you know, an, you know, high level, high quality, you know, top of the line, you know, material, even though it was fantasy. I just don't think they take Harry Potter as seriously in that way, and they haven't been nominating it all along. A couple people along the way, you know, got nominated, but it really, I'll have to see it to I thought that other ones in the past would have gotten more craft nominations, more I mean, these movies are impeccably made, but you know, they don't.
Right. Yeah, I feel the same way. I finally can tell all of them apart because I rewatched all of them recently.
I saw that, and you end up with the Cuarón as your favorite.
That's my second favorite. My favorite one actually is Order of the Phoenix because to me there's a lot of unsung, interesting directorial choices throughout that movie. And it's just one of them that kind of held my gaze the longest. But, you know, it's a tallest leprechaun contest to me. When it comes to these movies, I'm not like in the wheelhouse or anything, so.
I loved them all except for the last one. And the reason I didn't like the last one, part one, Deathly Hallows part one, is because I wasn't reading the books. And you really have to read the book to that. You would have had to have plowed through those final books to even have a
And
clue.
that one just crawled. The pacing was abysmal and hilariously so after a while, but this last one, I guess, is a little, is pretty much, you know, balls to the wall. So maybe this will be the one that at the very least gets it a big boatload of craft nominations because it's the one that has so much going on, technically. So,
All right, so we have, you know, obviously we shouldn't shoot our wad here.
yeah.
There's plenty to come back to. When are we going to talk again?
Yeah, this has been a meaty Oscar talk for everybody. Let me look at my calendar. I think the best idea is.
Pre-Telluride?
Yeah, you know, just kind of do our usual thing the week before the festivals, 26th of August.
All right, we'll do a pre-Telluride discussion, even though we technically won't know what's going to be there, but
We'll know.
and we could do a post-Telluride. I mean, we could start the
Well, I think
weekly
at that
thing
point it'll be
after
weekly.
that.
Yeah, so 26th is when we'll be back. Venice starts on the 31st. Telluride starts on the 1st, and we'll be going weekly as of the 2nd.
You got it. All
So,
right.
all right. Good
Happy
talking
to
to
be
you.
back with you.
You
Bye-bye.
too. Bye.